TED Audio Collective.
The iconic 90s movie, The Matrix, did more than just cement a fashion trend of long black leather trench coats and gothic dark glasses. Centered around sentient AI who enslaved humans stuck in a simulated world, this Oscar-winning dystopian thriller was an early initiator into the idea that evil AI and scary militant robots would be our future. But contrary to the stories we see in sci-fi books and movies, the dark side of AI isn't robots becoming sentient, it's disinformation. This tech can create and spread disinformation faster than ever before, and we're totally unprepared to defend against that. This is a challenge that billionaire CEO of Scale AI, Alexander Wang, describes as our greatest war, and we're already falling behind. I'm Sherelle Dorsey, and this is TED Tech. Alexander Wang takes to the TED stage to help us understand how our military defense strategies in the U.S. don't compare to the spending and capital being fueled into AI technological advancement in other countries. In his talk and later in conversation with TED head Chris Anderson, Alexander sounds the alarm and urges us to invest in data preparation and utility to combat foreign adversaries.
Hey, listeners, before we kick off today's episode, I want to give a shout out to one of our favorite podcasts, Masters of Scale. Every week on Masters of Scale, Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn, meets with some of the world's most successful entrepreneurs, discussing the strategies that got them to where they are. You'll hear from entrepreneurs like former Burberry CEO Angela Ahrendts, Imagine Entertainment's Ron Howard and Brian Grazer, Airbnb's Brian Chesky, and many other iconic founders. Be sure to search for Masters of Scale wherever you get your podcasts.
Artificial intelligence and warfare. Let's talk about what this really could look like. Swarms of lethal drones with facial recognition that know your every move, or unmanned armed robots that are near impossible to defeat. Autonomous fighter jets that can travel at supersonic speeds and can withstand greater gravitational force than a human pilot could survive. Cyber attacks that incapacitate critical port infrastructure, or disinformation campaigns and deepfakes that throw presidential elections, or even foreign adversaries taking out satellites, our eyes and ears in space, rendering us blind to global events. All superintelligent weapons of terror. We're at the dawn of a new age of warfare. I grew up in the birthplace of a technology that defined the last era of warfare, the atomic bomb. I was keenly aware of how this technology had fundamentally shaped geopolitics and the nature of war. My parents were both scientists at Los Alamos National Laboratory. My dad's a physicist, and my mom's an astrophysicist. Their scientific work in plasma fluid dynamics will have deep implications for how we understand our universe. So naturally, I knew I wanted to work on something just as impactful. I decided to become a programmer and study artificial intelligence. AI is one of the most critical technologies of our time and will have deep implications for national security and democracy globally. As we saw in World War II with the atomic bomb, the country that is able to most rapidly and effectively integrate new technology into warfighting wins. There's no reason to believe this will be any different with AI. But in the AI arms race, we're already behind. From a technological perspective, China is already ahead of the United States in computer vision AI, and in large language models like ChatGPT, they are fast followers. In terms of military implementations, they're outspending us. Adjusted for total military budget, China is spending 10 times more than the United States. Why are we so far behind? The answer is twofold. First, data supremacy. Despite having the largest fleet of military hardware in the world, most of the data from this fleet is thrown away or inaccessible, hidden away on hard drives that never see the light of day. This is our Achilles heel. In an AI war, everything boils down to data. For defense AI, data from the internet is not enough. Most of the data needs to come from our military assets, sensors, and collaborations with tech companies. Military commanders need to know how to use data as a military asset. I've heard this firsthand many times from my conversations with military personnel, including most recently from Lieutenant General Richard R. Kaufman, Deputy Commanding General for United States Army Futures Command. Second, despite being home to the leading technology companies at the forefront of artificial intelligence, the US tech industry has largely shied away from taking on government contracts. Somewhere along the line, tech leaders decided that working with the government was taboo. As a technologist, I'm often asked how I'm bettering this world. This is how I'm improving the future of our world, by helping my country succeed and providing the best tools and technology to ensure that the United States government can defend its citizens, allies, and partners. The Ukraine war has demonstrated that the nature of war has changed. Through AI overmatch, Ukraine is challenging an adversary with far superior numbers of troops and weapons. Before the Ukraine war, Russia had spent an estimated $65 billion US dollars on its military expenditures, whereas Ukraine only spent about $6 billion. It's estimated that Russia had over 900,000 military troops and 1,300 aircraft, whereas Ukraine only had 200,000 military troops and 130 aircraft. Technologies such as drones, AI-based targeting and image intelligence, and Javelin missiles have enabled a shocking defense of Ukraine. AI is proving invaluable for defending Ukrainian cities and infrastructure against missile and drone bombardment. At scale, we're using our novel machine learning algorithm for battle damage assessment in key areas affected by the war. We've rapidly analyzed over 2,000 square kilometers and have identified over 370,000 structures, including thousands not previously identified by other open source data sets. We focused on Kiev, Kharkiv, and Dnipro, and provided our data directly in a publicly accessible data set to the broader AI community. One of the key problems we're solving is using AI to analyze massive amounts of imagery and detect objects because humans just can't keep up. We've received an overwhelming response from our free AI-ready data set and have provided it directly to the United States and NATO allies. And it's been downloaded over 2,000 times by AI companies, researchers, developers, and GIS practitioners. AI can also be used for change detection. Simply put, algorithms can constantly monitor imagery and notify a human to investigate further if there's a change or a movement. It's clear that AI is increasingly powering warfare. And based on the rate of progress in the AI field, I predict that in 10 years, it will be the dominant force. Disinformation and misinformation are already huge problems. And this technology is only going to make it worse. Tools like ChatGPT have enabled AI to generate imagery, text, audio, video, code, and even reason. These tools can generate realistic looking and realistic sounding content, which on top of bot-run social media accounts, will make it nearly impossible to identify disinformation and misinformation online. Bad actors can use these tools to supercharge misinformation and propagate falsehoods. China already uses disinformation campaigns and social media manipulations heavily in Taiwan, particularly during elections. Or take Russia's propaganda machine, which in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, created a deepfake of Ukrainian President Zelensky calling for Ukrainian troops to surrender. This deepfake was easy to spot, but the next one may not be. This also takes place within our borders, from social media algorithm manipulation to advertising micro-targeting and geofencing, to deepfakes of politicians and bot-run social media accounts, the United States is not excused from exacerbating disinformation and misinformation. These tools are universally accessible at low or no cost, meaning they can be employed by anyone anywhere to undermine the sanctity of democracy globally. However, all hope is not lost. If we properly invest into data infrastructure and data preparation, all of this can be avoided. Deterrence is nothing new to military thinking. As we saw in World War II with the atomic bomb, it was a primary factor in deterring foreign adversaries from going to nuclear war for more than six decades, because the stakes of going to war with such a technology were simply too high. We're likely to see a new calculus emerge with AI. It's uncharted territory, and nobody knows what it'll look like or the toll it will take. How do we know if our AI is better than our adversaries? We won't. But one thing is clear. AI can only be as powerful as the underlying data that is used to fuel its algorithms. Data will be a new kind of ammunition in the era of AI warfare. In the tech industry, we often talk about missions. They're often frivolous. Do they really change the world or save lives? This mission, on the other hand, really matters. The AI war will define the future of our world and has the potential to shift the balance of diplomatic power. It's clear that digital warfare is not some dystopian reality tucked away in a faraway future. It is taking place in the here and now. We cannot sit by the sidelines and watch the rise of an authoritarian regime. It is in moments like this that technologists can either rise to the challenge or stand idle. I encourage my fellow technologists to understand the austerity and severity of our times and commit themselves to supporting national security. While I find it shocking that most American AI companies have chosen not to support national security, I do hope others join us. We must fight for the world we want to live in. It's never mattered more. Thank you.
Support for this episode comes from the University of Illinois Geese College of Business Online MBA, known as the iMBA, which provides unmatched flexibility that allows you to put your degree within reach. Jeff Wayman, a first-year iMBA student, has already seen the impact.
My name is Jeff Wayman. I'm an iMBA student at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business. Currently, I'm head of content strategy for the Office of CTO for a tech company. I have a career path that I pretty much understand. I'm looking to expand my capabilities and move into more senior leadership roles. And so an MBA was always something that was on my mind. You know, I would consider myself a lifelong learner. You know, I enjoy it. When narrowing it down to a few programs, Geese University of Illinois built a lot of flexibility into what you would focus on within the MBA. And so the ability to sort of target areas I want to focus on in my business education was really important. And that is part of the core, you know, Geese curriculum. Fears and hesitations I had in sort of going back to school. I think the biggest thing is, you know, time management. My work is flexible, but at the same time, it's unpredictable. I have a family as well. The program in every way has certainly given me that opportunity for flexibility. I think that flexibility has been the best part for me. We get home with our family, we eat dinner with our family. I can still do all those things, even if there's a class that day. I probably have 25 to 30 years left to work. A program for me, I look at, I'm going to spread that cost over that time. And so, you know, based on that investment, what could I expect from that? If I can be more competitive when I go to my next role or have my next interview, absolutely that, I think I've got a return on that investment. You know, best case scenario, it changes my career path or trajectory. Looking at other students that have graduated, other things people have done, it's certainly a possibility. I do not think you will find a program that has put more time and energy and effort into how they deliver the coursework, how they interact with the students, how they build the curriculum, how they ensure as much flexibility as possible. I don't think you're going to get that other places. So that, I think, is the real big difference for me.
If you're like most professionals, graduate education has to be designed to fit within your busy schedule. Learn more about the courses designed with your career and time in mind at geeseonline.illinois.edu.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening. TED Tech is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced by Nina Lawrence, who also wrote it with me, Sherelle Dorsey. Our editor is Alejandra Salazar, and the show is fact-checked by Julia Dickerson. Special thanks to Farah DeGrunge. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe and leave us a review so other people can find us too. I'm Sherelle Dorsey. Let's keep digging into the future. Join me next week for more.